I'm giving you a different look on the laundry cam today. If you're not on the laundry cam or you never have been on the laundry cam, you've got to see this bar from my desk because I don't think you've seen it before. Good morning, everyone. Martin Zender here at the Revelation Series, ending the week with a bang. I suggested to you yesterday that while the meek inherit the earth, assholes inherit the heavens. And this is true. It's called Paul's Gospel. I told you yesterday there was a reason that the circumcision gospel came first, why God didn't just jump into the message of grace if this is what he had in his heart all along. It's because he must create a contrast. Now, as I've said to you before, I'll reiterate it now before I jump into new material. God thought that the circumcision gospel was necessary to show how large he was, how unapproachable truly he is compared to human beings. It's just quite different. The deity is from human beings. He is everything. We are, you know, quite insignificant compared to him. And he is so powerful. I don't think you could really look upon the essential deity and live. And so he has to scale down any appearance of himself. And he has done this by various means, but chiefly through a son, Jesus Christ. It's a scaled down version of him. It's an image of him. Let's put it that way, because that's the way God puts it. 2 Corinthians 4:4, I believe it is. Paul calls Jesus Christ the image of the invisible God. And he becomes a visible image. And he shows us, Christ does, who God is. And he does this delicately, gently, gradually. And he does it when he comes to the earth, takes the form of a human being, and becomes an Israelite, as I like to say, puts on his Jew suit, and disguises himself this way, really lowers even himself. I mean, he, as the Son of God, certainly he has an effulgence. He has a brightness that the Apostle Paul saw as Saul on the road to Damascus. He was blinded by the light of the essential Christ. But Christ, during the first century, decided to hide himself, to disguise himself as a Jew, and he put on his Jew suit. And yet we saw how merciful he was. He likes to heal people. He likes to feed people miraculously from a kid's lunch. And he died for the sins not only of Israel, and not only of the world, but also the universe of celestial beings that we have not yet seen. And so he does all these great things. But it's hard for, you know, it's not the greatest thrill in the world for God to dial himself back. Everybody wants to show who they are. But God can't do it because we would be destroyed. And so he gradually, by increments, reveals himself. And in order to do this, he first establishes a gospel called the Gospel of the Circumcision. And this was a gospel to one nation. And the main demonstration, I will say this, I will go out on a limb. I don't care. I'm Martin Zender. I'm the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. The main reason he did this was to prove that flesh and blood ought to just give up now, trying to save itself. You ought to just give up now and put your expectation in another, namely Jesus Christ, because you by yourself will not accomplish the dictates of God. You will not accomplish perfection. You will not even approach the deity by your weak means. But this has to be proven. This has to be done not in a theoretical sense, by drawing on a whiteboard, by putting forth formulas. This has to be done in practical experience. And thus Israel became a, quote, guinea pig nation. And God proved through Israel the inability of flesh and blood to do the things of God. This is a valuable lesson because it finally shuts humanity up, deadens the clamor of just give us a list of rules. So God had to bring this out first to creatures who depend on contrastive things for their revelation. Now, God having made that point, he could have brought in then finally the gospel that's been on my heart all along, my grace, my transcendent grace. I do everything, you do nothing. I save assholes. Sorry if you're offended by that term. To put it this way, I save the unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid. There's some scriptural language for you from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This was on God's heart all along to demonstrate this. But he has to, again, present the preliminaries, a nation dedicated to the proposition that all men are created absolutely unable to attain to God. The question is, now that God has brought forth his true heart in the evangel of Paul, he can just turn to the circumcision and say, sorry about that, I did use you as a foil against which to present my true heart. You did a great job in failing. You couldn't do anything right. I've been divorced from you now for 2,000 years. Thanks for being the before picture. I've got my after picture now, and I don't need you anymore. Thanks for the memories. It's been great. So long, sucker, and sayonara. See you in the morning. But he doesn't do that. He could have. But he's gracious. He feels bad for this nation. Okay, I'm putting it in human gender terms. So he says, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to fulfill my promises to you. All those promises I made to prove that you couldn't do anything to earn the promise, I'm going to go ahead and fulfill that. It's fantastic, right? I'm going to fulfill everything I said I was going to do for you. And I'll tell you, I'm going to give you 1,000 years. I'm going to give you a millennium. Yes, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you 1,000 years as a playground in which you can frolic about and enjoy all the things that I said I was going to do. In the meantime, I hope you don't mind, but the people to whom I gave my heart's evangel, you know, the transcendent grace of God, to these people, I'm going to take them to heaven, and they're going to be flying about, reconciling, you know, the universe. It's a little bigger than the earth, sorry about that. I know I gave you the earth, and it's all the rage amongst you people. You can't stop thinking about it and talking about the earth. You love the earth. I'm mixing my accents here. Just bear with me. This is fun for me. So, you know, I'm true to my promises. I don't have to do this, really, but I'm going to do it because it's fun for me. That even the before picture, I'm going to give you the goal. I'm going to give you the fulfillment of your expectations. But in the meantime, this transcendent grace of God, they're going to be frolicking about. And I hope you don't mind that they're total unworthies, you see. Yeah, they didn't do anything like you did. They weren't overcomers. They didn't produce fruits worthy of repentance. Some of them are complete losers, and yet I'll have them frolicking about, thank you very much, among the celestials, and I hope you don't resent that, but you probably will because you're Israelites. However, I'm going to change your heart. I'm going to put the law in your heart, and you're going to do finally the law. Why? Because you're suddenly law geniuses? No, not at all, because I've put my law in your heart. I've invaded your world and given you my law, and you now have a heart of flesh. That's different, isn't it? Yeah, quite different. It's a change of pace, right? Because your heart's been a heart of stone. And this is exactly the way I speak. I'm God, you know. Where do you think this accent came from? I originated it. It's all about me. So God fulfills his promises to Israel. Just for the sake of being consistent, you know, just to follow through. But it's only 1,000 years. But he's got bigger fish to fry. Where are those fish? Now, I'm going to quote from a great book called The First Idiot in Heaven. I wrote this book. I can't help it. It's great. It's just, I don't know how. I wrote it in 4 months. It was miraculous, I think. It was a lot of hard work, too. I kept my butt in my seat, and I wrote 2,000 words a day, just decided to do that every day, and I produced this book. What I did was I took everything I knew about Paul's gospel and about the gospel of the circumcision and all the events leading up to it, Abraham, David, and then Saul, the apostle, Saul, the Pharisee, the apostle Paul, and I put it in one book, handy. All the information in one place, what Paul's gospel is, what it portends, the essence of it, how it shows the completion of the universe through Christ and a body of people who we will become the complement of Christ, the body of Christ, and we become the members of the body of Christ, the body of Christ. We complete Christ, Christ completes God, and a completed Christ completes the universe. Pretty heady stuff. And yet it's all in this book. Anyway, I want to read, not read, but I want to paraphrase my own work here, if I can. Now, I know this is a departure from the Revelation series. I must do this. I feel a sense of urgency to bring Paul's evangel to you. I think we're on borrowed time. It's a figure of speech. We're not really on borrowed time because there's no such thing as borrowed time, but there is a such thing as, I think the end of this eon is near. I feel a compulsion to bring the gospel of the circumcision to as many people as possible before this eon ends, and I think we're at the tail end of this thing. I'm going to be giving you more information on that, and boy, as I go through a few of these key elements of Paul's gospel that I would like everyone to grasp onto, I'm going to remind you, I haven't forgotten my place in the Revelation series. I was talking about the height of the new Jerusalem, that it goes into the exosphere, that it pierces the exosphere, goes into the area where the Hubble telescope now resides. I'm going to do that for you. And I realized that I went on a sidetrack after that. I started talking about the Amish sign, the sign of the Amish that I saw in a yard while I was walking 8 miles a day in a despair over how hard this work is, this job is. I haven't forgotten about that. I'm going to do that. And I also am going to tell you why the Garden of Eden comes before the millennial earth. That's important. The Garden of Eden is a brief glimmer of what the entire earth is going to be during the millennium. And that is a foretaste of the new earth. I'm going to tell you about these things. Seriously, I haven't forgotten it. In the meantime, this is a sidetrack on a sidetrack on a sidetrack. And I thank you for bearing with me. Now, the gospel that Jesus Christ preached when he was on earth has a name. It's called the gospel of the circumcision. This was the only gospel in town for a long time. God brought it to Abraham in Genesis chapter 10. Read through Genesis chapter 12. It's called the gospel of the circumcision. It's called that by name in Galatians 2:7. What do I still have my headphones on? Sorry, I just took them off there. Now I'm clean, clean and pure. And my hair is revealed for all to see. Now, this gospel of the circumcision, it's not for losers. If you're a loser, you need not apply for this gospel. If you're an idiot, you need not apply for this gospel. If you're an asshole, and there are some assholes, I'm guessing, just by, you know, the law of chance, that there are some assholes listening to me now, this is not your gospel. If you're a sinner, yes, this is a gospel for sinners, but the sinners in this gospel, they have to shape up quickly before Jesus returns and finds them lacking. In other words, these sinners, according to the circumcision gospel, the gospel of Israel, the gospel brought originally through Abraham, you have to change your mind about who God is. You have to be baptized according to Jesus and John the Baptist and Peter on the day of Pentecost. It helps if you cry a lot. That belongs to repentance. Tears are a must. You have to feel very, very bad about your failings. In other words, I guess you could put that in a nutshell to say produce fruit worthy of repentance. That's Matthew 3:8. All you need to do really, all you need to do is behave yourself constantly, or at least try like crazy to behave yourself constantly. And by the way, wipe those silly grins off your faces, please, because this is not a joking matter. The circumcision gospel is for very serious people who are ready and willing to embark on a program of self-improvement based on Jesus Christ, true, based on Jesus Christ being the Messiah. But cry, change your mind, and start working, and then God will save you. Now I talk to ordinary, average people like myself. I'm going to ask you some questions here. Why do we have such a difficult time shaping up and producing fruit worthy of repentance? Why is it hard to do the right thing? Maybe it's better to ask this. Why do we instinctively know, you and I, that we can't do these things? I think that God has given people like you and me a revelation concerning our inherent inability to stun God with our behavior, to impress Him with our behavior. We read the circumcision gospel and we kind of roll our eyes and say, seriously? I'm going to do something that's going to impress God? Does He really expect this of me? Now, other people will read the circumcision gospel and go, yeah, that sounds reasonable. I think I can do that. Yeah. In fact, I'm going to become a pseudo-Israelite and I'm going to start observing the feasts of Israel, the Passover, the Feast of Tabernacles. And even though I don't have a temple, I'm going to pretend I have a temple. I'm going to put a shrine in my house, some kind of shrine. Oh boy, Catholics do this. Catholics are wannabe Israelites. Some of them have altars in their house. They have this, appropriate statues of Mary and Jesus and some of the saints, and they kiss them, they pray to them, and it's all pseudo-Israelitism. So I'm really actually discounting that, but I'm putting it forward to you as evidence that the human has a great desire for ceremony. The human has a great desire for feasts and for doing things and for trying to impress God, especially certain times of year. It's all Israelite stuff. There were three times of year where an Israelite had to go to the temple, right? Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. And so this appeals to a lot of people. But what if you're not into it? What if you wish that there was a gospel for you? What if you wish that there was a message in the Bible for someone who is just tired? And you're just discouraged, and you're just disgusted with your own efforts. Every New Year's resolution you've ever made has exploded, fallen flat, and burned like the Hindenburg. What if every promise you ever made to God, if you just do this for me, I'll do this for you. What if every promise you've ever made to God has exploded like the Edsel. The Edsel really didn't explode, did it? It just kind of went and died. So what if all of your Edselian hopes and dreams to impress God have puttered out and died? What if all of your Hindenburgian notions of ascending to the heavens by your own wisdom and power have exploded in flames and fallen to the ground in flaming shreds somewhere in New Jersey? Well, I have a gospel for you, and it's found in the Bible, in the same Bible that contains the circumcision gospel. It's called the gospel of the uncircumcision. Perhaps for the next 2 days, I don't know, I'm going to just suggest to you. I'm not going to suggest anything. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to teach you about facts concerning this gospel, and I hope that as you hear these facts, you're going to say, that gospel's for me, and you're going to grab onto it. Because, folks, we are in a harrowing period in world history, and we are possibly only a few years away from the worst times this earth has ever seen, known as the tribulation. How would you like to not go through the tribulation? How would you like to not have locusts coming up through your bathtub drain? How would you like to not have your car hit with 90-pound hailstones or to have one fall on your head? How would you like to not witness a third of humanity being killed? I have the answer for you. It's a modern-day ark. You remember the ark of Noah that saved 8 people out of a total of 8 billion people who are on the planet? Well, Paul's gospel is a modern-day ark. It's a message of grace and peace that will be an escape, yes, an escape, a rescue out of the coming indignation, because it's based on the grace of God. I'm going to tell you about that gospel in the next few days. For those of you who already know about it, I'm going to bring out things that you've never heard about it. I'm going to say things that you thought you knew, but you didn't. And it's going to be great. Did I say that? No? I meant to say it. Well, it's not too late. The show's still on. It's gonna be great.